First, we have Lewis Trotter, I believe, walked in at some point. Lewis, are you here? Yes, Lewis served right before I returned to Palmasola. And we also would like to greet Curtis Brown and Catherine, who served as interim pastor and spouse at the end of my time here from 2002 to 2004, I believe. So I invite you to give them a round of applause. We turn our hearts and minds now to the scripture, and we have been going through a series called The Seven Vital Signs and looking at indications that a church is vital and ways that a church can grow in vitality. But today, because we are celebrating our 60th anniversary, we're going to take sort of an interlude. And we're going to think about vitality, but in a different way. And so I invite you now to pray with me as we prepare to hear God's word read and proclaimed. Let us pray. Lord, our life is in you. Our vitality comes from you. And the scriptures are one of the ways that you do enliven us. Because through the scriptures, you give us your strength. You convey to us your grace. You lead us in your paths of life. And so we pray now that we would let go of all that would distract us, both externally, but most importantly, internally, the anxieties and fears and thoughts that bubble up and draw us away from hearing your word. And we humbly ask now that your Spirit, who is the great teacher of Scripture, would speak to each of us, so that today we might know that we have heard the word of the Lord for us individually and for us as a congregation. That surely will not come from me, but from you, O Lord. And so we invite you now to do what only you can do. Take these ancient words and make them ours. We pray this in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our scripture this morning is taken from Philippians, because we've been reflecting on Paul's letter to the Philippians all fall. And again, we will be picking up scriptures that apply throughout Philippians. So we begin with 1, verses 1 through 6. And then we'll pick up a passage in chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. I invite you now to join with me as we together read God's word. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And then Paul picks up a little bit later on about his part in the work that God is doing. And so he writes in Philippians 3, 14 through 16, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please join me as we sing. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, Palma Sola. Happy anniversary to you. On this special day, when we celebrate Palma Sola's 60th anniversary, it's the perfect time to step back and think about how we remain vital as a Christian congregation in today's world. In the 1960s, Palma Sola was growing by leaps and bounds, and mainline churches across our nation were booming. They were the center of social and religious life in their communities, and their sanctuaries were filled weekly with worshipers. But to use the phrase from The Wizard of Oz, we are not in Kansas anymore. That world is gone. The culture has changed. Religious affiliation, that is the percentage of Americans who affiliate with a religious institution, is down by at least 50%. Gallup research suggests that in 1965, 69% of Americans were affiliated with a Protestant congregation. Their research now says that at the most, 38% of Americans are now connected with a Protestant denomination. And some researchers believe that a truer, more honest estimate of religious affiliation today is closer to 20%. From 69% in the 60s to 20% today. And not only has the percentage of those connected with Protestant congregations decreased dramatically, but the denominational patterns have also shifted unbelievably. Just as Amazon and Costco and Walmart have closed down many local mom and pop businesses throughout our nation, so big box non-denominational churches have drawn many parishioners away from Methodist and Presbyterian, Episcopal, and Lutheran and Baptist churches. So what are we to do as we celebrate this milestone in our church's life? How can we be 60 years and still vital? In his letter to the Philippians, the Apostle Paul gives us some hints, some clues as to where we might start in thinking about vitality in such a cultural climate. First, Paul wants to make one thing clear, and that is that their life together, the Philippians' life together as a congregation, is grounded not in their work, but in God's work in them. That is why we sang the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. In chapter 1, verse 6, he says this, I am confident of this, that he who began a good work in you, and we might say he that started Palma Sola in 1957, will continue it until the day of Christ. God is faithful to His people. God is faithful to His promise. God is faithful to His church. And Paul's word to us when we think about how to remain vital is this. Remember, Palmasolans, that the work of God in and through you will never stop. It will never stop. One of my favorite hymns is, "Come, Thy Fount of Every Blessing." That hymn includes this verse. Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by Thy help I'm come, and I hope by Thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Every time we sing that, I wonder if folks know what they're saying when they say, "Here I raise mine Ebenezer." Anyone want to take a stab at it? Huh? Well, you don't know it, but you're speaking a little Hebrew there. Because the word Ebenezer is actually two Hebrew words that are put together, and they mean Aben, stone or rock, of Ezer, help. And what the hymnist is saying is that he is standing on his Ebenezer, his stone of help. The phrase actually comes from a verse in 1 Samuel 7. Where the prophet Samuel has prayed for Israel in a time of crisis. The Philistines are attacking them. They are outnumbered. It looks as if they are going to be obliterated. And so they come to the prophet Samuel and they say, "Pray for us." And so Samuel goes and seeks God's face. And then he comes back after God has answered that prayer and given the Israelites an impossible victory. And we read this. Then Samuel took a stone. In the Old Testament, a stone was to build an altar of worship to God. Then Samuel took a stone and he set it up between Mizpah and Shane. And he named the stone Ebenezer, saying, "Thus far has the Lord helped us." This is the rock we build our lives on, that God has helped us from our beginning until this day. Today, as we at Palmasola celebrate our 60th anniversary, might we too raise our Ebenezer? Might we say with Samuel, "Thus far has the Lord helped us." Repeat that after me. Thus far has the Lord helped us. Now I want you to do something very un-Presbyterian. I want you to shout those words. Thus far has the Lord helped us. Now do it without me. Thus far. Amen. Amen and amen. Might we too on this 60th anniversary express the confidence of the Apostle Paul and declare, "We are confident that He who began a good work in us as a congregation will continue it until the day of Christ." And so I invite you to say with me, "We are confident that He who began a good work in us will continue it until the day of Christ." The first step toward continual vitality individually and as a congregation begins with remembering the great faithfulness of God to this congregation throughout its history. And so let's try again. Thus far has the Lord helped us. And our vitality continues with a bold assertion of God's faithfulness to us in the future. We are confident that He who began a good work in us will continue it until the day of Christ. Now, as wonderful as it is, as revitalizing as it is to put our feet solidly on our Ebenezer, the faithfulness of God to us as our help, we can't stop there. Yes, God's faithful work is at the heart. It is indeed the source of our vitality. But we also are co-laborers with the Lord. We have our part to play. And so Paul celebrates that fact with the Philippians when he writes in verses 4 and 5 of chapter 1, I pray for you with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. On this 60th anniversary, we not only remember God's faithfulness to us, but we also rejoice in our partnership together, our sharing together in ministry and mission, our work together in the gospel. My favorite Dietrich Bonhoeffer book is a small little book he wrote about life together as a Christian community, and that is what it is entitled, Life Together. And in it, Bonhoeffer highlights the essential role that our gratitude, that our thanksgiving, that our rejoicing in our co-laborers, our fellow congregants, plays in our church's vitality. And he writes this, because God has already laid the only foundation for our fellowship, which is His faithfulness in Jesus Christ, because God has bound us together in one body with other Christians in Jesus Christ, we enter into that common life not as demanders, not as people who come in and demand what God must do, but as thankful recipients, as those who receive a gift. We do not complain of what God does not give us. We rather thank God for what He does give us daily in and through the Christian community. If we do not give thanks daily for the Christian fellowship in which we have been placed, even where there is no great experience, no discoverable riches, but much weakness, small faith, and difficulty, even when the congregation God has placed us in is struggling, if, on the contrary, we only keep complaining to God that everything is so paltry and petty, so far from what we expected, then we hinder God from letting our fellowship grow according to the measure and the riches which are there for all of us in Jesus Christ. Let me repeat Bonhoeffer's words again. If we do not give thanks daily for the Christian fellowship in which we have been placed, even where there's no great experience, no discoverable riches, but much weakness, small faith, and difficulty, then we hinder God from letting the full measure and treasure of our fellowship grow. Gratitude for who we are now, not in a dream world, but who we really are now, is one of the secrets of vitality. If the vitality of Paul's ministry with the Philippian congregation was rooted in his joyful gratitude for their partnership in the gospel, then could it be that our future vitality as a church is rooted in our joyful gratitude for one another, for our strengths, for our weaknesses, for our ministry and mission together? Let us give thanks. Let us rejoice for who we are now, so that God may grow us in vitality. But of course, to be vital, we must do more than remember God's faithful work in us and rejoice in our partnership together in the gospel. We must also recommit ourselves to God's call for our future. Notice Paul's words in chapter 3, verse 14. I press onward toward the goal for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. God had a unique call on Paul's life. And Paul was committed. He was committed to engaging, to pressing onward, to working hard, to live into that call. That is also true for us as a congregation. God has a unique call for Palmasola. It's not the same call that He has for Redeemer Lutheran or Faith Methodist or Trinity Methodist or Bayside or First Baptist. It is unique. It is shaped by the gifts and passions and interest and people that are here. One thing small businesses are learning in today's world is that if they want to succeed, they will not find their way forward by trying to imitate and compete with Amazon and Walmart and Costco, because they cannot do it. They do not have the resources. They do not have the logistics. And so it is also true here that we will not find God's call for us by competing with and copying other churches. We may learn from them, but we cannot copy them. That is not how God has designed the church. That is why your session has been working hard and pressing onward toward the unique call to clarify who we are and what God is calling us to be and to do here and now. We will only be vital when we discern that unique call, our spiritual niche, and commit ourselves to living into that. Since I returned in 2014, I've been in conversations with leaders of organizations in our community, and a couple of them have said something interesting to me. One of the mega churches in Bradenton has offered ministry in their organizations to their constituents. But what they told me is this: that church comes in and does ministry, but never really invests deeply in building relationship with the people these organizations serve. And what I see is this, that one of Palmasola's great strengths is that we develop caring relationships. We're good at connecting with people and hearing what their need is, and then doing something to meet that need in a way that bonds us to them in relationships. And that is why, as our outreach team continues to develop ministries that provide elderly connections and support, that feed the hungry, that enrich education and literacy in our community, we will focus on making real connections with the people we touch. Real relationships with real people. That is how the love of Christ changes lives. That is what we at Palmasola have to offer this community and world. And so as we celebrate 60 and still vital, let us remember God's faithful work in and through us. Let us rejoice in our shared ministry and mission together. And let us recommit to God's unique call for us as a congregation. Last week, we sang a hymn that comes from the Iona community in Scotland, written by a man named John Bell, whose heart is for sharing the love of Christ in this world. The hymn was entitled The Summons, and I believe in it John Bell asked 19 questions. Questions spoken as if from the tongue of Jesus. And so I invite you now to stand and to sing that hymn found on page 2130 in our hymn supplement. And as you sing it, listen for the voice of Jesus summoning you to remember God's faithfulness, to rejoice in this community, and to recommit to God's unique call on us as a congregation.